Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, here we go. Oh yeah. Twelve man. You can't see me. Knock your shell off. My money stacked fat, plus I can't turn the swell off. The franchise. The time is now. The time is now. I never get sick of that intro. The time is now. You are tuning in to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, as always, Mr. Robert Ford. Today is Tuesday, December the 10th, and we are ready to talk some sports. But before we get started with a smorgasbord of fun topics, college football is going to be king. Obviously, we're jumping to some NFL. I got to check in with my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir? Rob, you on? Let me check in with Rob for make sure he's actually on here. Hold on. Make sure he is on the line. Rob Ford, you still with me? Hold on, guys. Rob Ford, you on? We'll get him on real quick here. Rob, you on, sir?
I'm on, man. Let's make it do what it do.
I was, like, making sure that you were able to hear me or something like that. Did you hear my little intro and stuff like that, as always?
Oh, yeah. Let's make it do what it do, Doc. I heard it all. I'm ready to go.
I was making sure. Seems like Rob is tuned in now. So let's go ahead and kick this party off. Once again, for those who want to call into the show, we always got to throw a couple of numbers out. If you want to reach out, give us your thoughts. The number to call into the show is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're also available via Facebook and Twitter. If you want to check us out on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/12thmansports or put in Talking Sports with 12th Man, you'll find us. And last but not least, we are also on Twitter, Twitter world. Go to @12, THMAN Sports. You'll be able to find us as well. But without further ado, sir, there's been a lot of things to talk about. I know we're going to kind of start off in the NBA, or excuse me, NFL world. I know we definitely want to talk about some college and stuff like that, but let's kind of kick it off. Let's talk about some top five teams. We'll recap some games over the weekend for college football because that's definitely what we want to jump into. But let's kind of start off, Rob. NFL, top five teams, sir. Let's keep it moving.
Well, I'll tell you what, but from the looks of it, this was one of the more entertaining weeks in the NFL this past weekend. And, you know, looking at top five teams currently, I know we kind of play, we flip-flop teams every week based on what happens. So I'm moving the Denver Broncos back up to number one. Offensively, I mean, obviously they've been putting up big numbers all year long, and they went ahead and put up like 51 this past week. Peyton Manning is a lock for pretty much being another MVP. I haven't lost track of how many. This might be number six now. And So definitely the best regular season quarterback of our time, of probably in NFL history. So we got the Denver Broncos back at the number one position. I moved Seattle down to number two after the road loss at San Francisco, which turned out to be a very good game. I had the New England Patriots at number three. They keep being able to squeak out wins, and sometimes that's all it takes. You know, just win, baby, as the great Al Davis used to say. And that's basically what the New England Patriots have been doing. They're just finding ways to win in the last minute of games. I have my beloved New Orleans Saints at number four. Moved them up a spot after beating Carolina this past Sunday night. And number five, I've got the Kansas City Chiefs back in the top five with an impressive 45-10 victory over the Washington Redskins.
I like it. I actually have the exact same top five. I mean, definitely we talk about it pretty frequently as far as the flipping, the flopping. The way that New England has been playing, they seem to keep losing some pieces, and I'm sure, you know, it seems like who is Tom Brady throwing to, but he seems to get it done, and they have a pretty good record at 10-3 as well. But like you said, Denver, you know, same thing. They've been kind of keeping it moving. As you mentioned, Peyton Manning is doing his thing. Seattle, with a hard-fought, almost a great
you know, possibly a preview as far as the NFC Championship game with the 49ers. They're able to kind of they just kind of, you know, lost that, but it seems like they're pretty much unstoppable in Seattle, so that's probably what they're trying to aim for, getting some home field advantage. Got your Saints, number four, and as you mentioned, rounding it out with Kansas City holding off. We'll see how they play down the stretch, too, because right now the AFC seems very, very interesting, Rob. You know, a lot of teams trying to see if they're pretenders or actually contenders, you know, with Cincinnati and a couple of squads as well, too. So we'll keep an eye on that for sure, Rob. I like the top five, and that's pretty good.
Absolutely. We don't normally agree, America, but tonight is one of the rare opportunities, so y'all may want to cherish this.
It is a rare opportunity for real. Let's keep it moving here. Let's talk real quick,
Rob. It makes
it
more fun when we disagree, though.
Yeah, I know. Like I said right now, I mean, I was kind of debating, you know, keeping your Saints number four, but, you know, or, you know, whatever. But we'll keep moving, as always. You know, I'm not going to
fight. Yeah, I know you want to put
it
number one, really.
No, I want to put you guys number 10, but that's okay. I'm going to put it right now. So let's recap Monday night's game, Rob. You know, a shellacking by the Bears, the Cowboys. It's kind of like, what's going on, Rob? I can't really defense, you know, doesn't look that great. And I know we're going to talk about if Monty Kiffin is to blame. I'm sure right now they're probably wishing that Rob Ryan is back for your beloved Saints. Just a game where it seems like everything went the Chicago Bears' way, and kind of I want to get your thoughts as far as this, and also how does this impact possibly Jay Cutler, because Josh McDaniels, he's been playing pretty well, and I'm sure that this was pretty much unexpected if you're a Bears fan. Cutler is coming upon his contract year, so what does this mean for him? And it's stressing, like, hey, if I can keep Josh McDown, I mean, why do I have to pay for Cutler? Because he's trying to get that big dollar deal as well. So curious to your thoughts about this as well.
Well, yeah, obviously that was a big win for the Chicago Bears at home. And this is about, you know, the second time in a few weeks that the Cowboys have got blown out in prime time on the road. And, you know, they gave up 45 points to the Bears, gave up 49 points to the Saints a few weeks ago. And obviously they've got a lot of injuries on defense. You know, believe it or not, last year they even had a lot of injuries on defense. But, you know, Rob Ryan still was able to put together a solid defense even with the injuries. It wasn't a great defense because obviously we have a lot of injuries. It's going to be hard to be great, but they were still competitive. But, man, I tell you, the secondary-wise, they're just getting torched. There's no Maurice Claiborne back there. And they're just having a rough go of it right now. And it looked like it's going to be hard for them. I know they're only one game behind the Eagles, and I think they own the tiebreaker over the Eagles if they get tied. But I just think the Eagles are playing much better football right now, and I think you have to like them finding a way to pull out that division. And the Cowboys, it's just going to be tough for them to win out with the way that defense is playing right now. And, yes, you mentioned Josh McCown. I think he's quietly playing some very good football, and he looked like he deserves to be a starter in this league at the way he's playing right now. And sometimes, you know, you can have one great game, but he's having multiple great games right now. And, you know, I think this is one of the mistakes that I made as an analyst a few years ago. Matt Flynn had that one great game, but he's been struggling to find himself ever since. But I think now when you look at this particular situation with McCown, he's having multiple great games, kind of in the fashion, not saying that he's a Tom Brady, but, you know, when Drew Bledsoe got hurt back in the early 2000s, Brady came in and had multiple good games, and it's kind of hard for Belichick to sit him. And I think this is the case here with the Bears. I think if you're the coaching staff with Chicago here, I think you have to think twice before you put Cutler back in the starting lineup with the way McCown is playing. He's playing phenomenal football right now.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rob. And it's one of the situations, too, where, you know, Trestman did say that, you know, Cutler is the starter. But as you mentioned, yeah, the way that Josh is playing right now, it's almost like, you know, let's keep it moving. Let's see how everything plays out. And like I said, if you're the Bears, this situation where, you know, maybe you don't have to give that big contract to Cutler. So we'll talk about it as well, Rob, because I want to get your thoughts as far as how this may impact Mike Shanahan, RG3, because, you know, we're going to talk about some coaching decisions. You know, obviously Houston fired Gary Kubiak. Could we see Cutler and Mike Shanahan reunite somewhere? That's another thing that we'll talk about as well, too. But A lot of moving pieces, Rob. Trestman has actually proven to be a pretty good coach. Pretty unexpected, I would say, Rob. But the Bears are playing phenomenal. And it's a team that's that plays well during the last couple of weeks, ended up to have a good opportunity to kind of keep that going as far as the playoffs.
Yeah, well, they're 7-6 right now, so we can't just say they're playing phenomenal just yet, I don't think. But they did play phenomenal last night, especially on the offensive side of the football. And that team has weapons. When you look at Brandon Marshall, you look at Matt Forte, you look at a guy in Elshon Jeffrey who's kind of having a breakout year this year. And then when you look at the offensive line play, I tell you, Aaron Cromer is probably one of the best offseason acquisitions the Bears have. Their new offensive coordinator / offensive line coach. He's one of the best in the business. Of course, we're getting Jermaine Bushrod, too, who's kind of helped that line. And that's been the dilemma for the Bears the last few years. Their offensive line play has been awful. And now they're putting it together offensively. They're doing the right things. And any given Sunday, they can be a scary team. But they still kind of up and down from week to week. And so we'll kind of see. I know they're tied with Detroit right now with 7-6, but Detroit owns a tiebreaker, so they have the slight lead in the division. So it's going to be an interesting division race between those two teams here in the last few weeks of the season.
How are you going to say that, man? I just sat there and just complimented the guys. You were talking about how well Josh has been playing, and then you're going to say, whoa, it's going too fast. Come on, man. I'm on the Bears bandwagon, man. They're about to make some things happen, man. 7-6, that division, Lions, and they're going to end up, I'm sorry, my Lions fans, you know, I don't trust them just yet. So that's why I'm co-signing the Bears. They're playing hot. We'll see how it plays out in the end of the regular season. You heard it here first, America.
There he goes.
I was just seeing what you were going to say. All right, let's keep moving here. I know I was talking about I did want to talk about a couple of situations, too, right before we talk about some of the things here. Excuse me, too, if I get ready to cough here. I was going to talk real quickly about the Cowboys, and you had a situation as far as Monty Kiffin, and should he be fired? And right now, I have no idea what's going on. And, you know, we talk about how injuries are definitely a big thing in the game, but do you think it's a situation, Rob, where it's just, he's having injuries or, you know, the backup players aren't prepared? What do you think about this? And is Monty Kiffin kind of in danger at this particular juncture?
Well, I think it's a couple of things here. Obviously, injuries doesn't help you. I mean, unless you just got a lot of depth, you know, on your roster. So, obviously, that's been a huge factor in the way that defense has been playing. And then you have to wonder if Monty Kiffin, this game starting to pass him by. I know Dick LeBeau is in his 70s and still getting some, you know, pretty solid play. But these are both guys are mid to late 70s now. You have to start to wonder, can they relate to the players and are the players understanding their concepts and schemes? I know Jerry Jones gave him a vote of confidence, say, you know, we wouldn't have anybody else to be our defense coordinator. But I tell you what, if they finish a season like this in the next few weeks, Jerry Jones is not going to tolerate that, and I can't see him being a defense coordinator next year.
Wow. Let's keep that. That's pretty interesting. Like you said, I don't think the game has passed them by. I think a lot of times you can have a lot of knowledge, and sometimes, like you said, injuries just come into play. That's kind of where I'm thinking at in this instance, too. But we'll keep moving, though. I do want to talk about a couple things. I'm going to throw out the numbers real quick. Big shout-out to my boy Matthew P. Hopefully he's listening in. 424-243-9519 is that actual number if you want to call into our lines or our show. I do want to talk, Rob, about what's going on in the nation's capital. And a big thing we're going to talk about real quick in that what's going on with Mike Shanahan and with RG3. And I know right now maybe it's a situation where some owners are, you know, almost – I'm kind of seeing Daniel Snyder as almost like a mini Jerry Jones. Not that I'm talking about – not that I'm picking on my Dallas Cowboys fans, but you talk about a guy that's just has his hands in a lot of different things, and he maybe needs to turn over to his football people, but – what do you think about this situation? I think that Shanahan has been put in a tough situation. The Redskins are playing pretty bad. Their pick is going to the Rams, so right now they can't even capitalize upon that because they made the deal for RG3. So right now, as you called it during the even listening to our show, you said that RG3 wasn't back, he wasn't playing well. And this has been one of the seasons where it's just been a colossal failure if you are a Redskins fan. So I kind of want to get your thoughts about that. And, you know, what's in the future for the Redskins?
Yeah, you said it. I mean, if you go back and listen to some of our shows in the summer, you know, I firmly thought that RG3 was going to have a rough year, as well as the Redskins having a rough year. I thought he was rushed back, you know, from this injury. And I still think he's a franchise quarterback. I just think that he was rushed back this year, and I think maybe they should let him rehab most of the season as well, get him ready for next year. You know, maybe get him ready toward the end of this year if they still had a shot of making a playoffs or something. But I just think they, you know, I think, you know, when you have a franchise quarterback like that, you know, fans are coming to see him play, and I think the Redskins kind of panic with that. I think they should have let him go through the natural healing process and getting ready to play, you know, instead of as opposed to rushing him back. It's not doing him any good rushing him back. I mean, what's the record? 3-10? And so obviously him being on the field has not helped his team.
Yep.
So I think rushing him back has hurt him more than it's helped his ball club, as well as helped him. And so I think it's a huge mistake. I'd be shocked that Mike Shanahan is back with the Redskins this year. And I can't see him being a head coach anywhere else anytime soon either. Because his team looked like they're lacking discipline as well. You know, back in the days, you didn't see Mike Shanahan teams making the kind of mistakes that this Redskins team is making. So I'll be shocked if he even gets picked up by anyone next year. Not to say he's never going to be a head coach again, but I think it's going to be a little while before that takes place again.
Gotcha. So, hold on real quick. We got to grab a quick call here. Hello, caller. You are on the air. Welcome to Talking Sports with 12th Man.
Hey, guys. It's Mike, huge Cowboys fan, and I'll tell you guys this. I love the Dallas Cowboys. I've been a fan for 35 years, but I hate this particular team.
Sorry to hear
that. Well, I know. Guys, I hate this team, this particular team. Everything about them, the owner, the coach, defensive coordinator, whoever is in charge of keeping these guys in shape, because I've seen more hamstring injuries with this team than I've ever seen in my life with any other team. Now, here's the thing. Here's how I think it's going to play out. You guys were just talking about the Redskins. I think somehow, some way, Dallas beats Green Bay at home, because it's looking like Matt Flynn is going to play for Green Bay and Rodgers will be out. But what I fully expect is the Redskins to have Kirk Cousins in that second-to-last game, and the team in Shanahan are going to want to show RG3 that they can win without him, and I think Dallas goes into Washington, and Washington ends Dallas' season. Because if you look at the Eagles, everything is shaping up for them. Adrian Peterson is going to be out this weekend against the Eagles. Then you get the Bears at home. I honestly don't think that last game between Dallas and Philly is going to mean anything. I think Philly is going to have the division wrapped up before that, because if you guys know it over the years, the Dallas and Washington series, many times the team that's down and out will spoil the other team's season and kind of pull off a big upset, and I see it again this year. So I just kind of like your thoughts on that. And if you think if they put Cousins in, the team's going to rally around them just to show RG3 that they can win without them.
Wow, that's good stuff.
Well, I'll tell you
what,
that's some very good logic there. We certainly appreciate the phone call. I mean, you've kind of gave us a lot of insight there to a way that should wrap up the next few weeks, and I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think this is, you know, very good chance that you're going to see the Eagles pull out that division, just like we just talked about.
Mike, how would you fix the Cowboys if you were the GM, if you will?
How would I fix them?
How would you fix them? What would be the case?
Well, the first thing I'd do is I'd go up to Jerry Jones' office and slip some cyanide in his drink and have that be the end of him. And get a real GM in there that knows how to make football decisions and isn't running the team like Al Davis did the Raiders his last 10 years. I see the worst drafts. I see the worst personnel decisions. Look what Rob Ryan is doing for the Saints defense, but yet they want to bring in a 73-year-old Monty Kiffin, who last year at USC had his defense run all over, and put him in the NFL at 73 years old. So I think it starts at the top, guys, with Jerry Jones. And it's sad to say, until he's out of there, you know, however it be, I think we're just going to see it over and over again. And you're going to waste Romo's best years, because realistically he only has two or three more years in his prime left. And I just don't think they ever gave him the team around him to make a serious run.
Good stuff.
Well, I tell you, I even thought about that USC aspect, too. You know, you hit a real good point there. That USC defense has not been that great even when he was there. You know, and I think it goes back to my point here. You have to wonder if he can still reach these players of this generation at that age. And I'll be shocked if he's back with the Cowboys next year.
Yeah, it's going to be rough here. I want to give a lot of love to Mike. Thank you for calling in, sir. And let's kind of expound upon what he was talking about, too. I know Mike was talking real briefly regarding the division here, and I think it's a great point. And this is my thing. I think that, as he talked about Kirk Cousins, he's definitely going to come in. If RG3 does continue to play well, you will see a change. Maybe if not versus the Falcons, but the following game after the Falcons, Kirk Cousins is going to come in. And I think it's going to do something for the team, too, because right now the rumors – are that RG3 and Daniel Snyder are kind of having this, you know, this sort of relationship that's undermining the coaching staff. And that doesn't do anything good for the team, because if you're a team and you have one player that's kind of getting preferential treatment, that separates that whole thing. No matter what RG3 says, that's going to cause some friction with the locker room. So they may say, hey, RG3, Bob, whatever you want to call yourself right now, put yourself on the bench and let Kirk Cousins come in and let's see what we can do as far as him taking over the team, and RG3 get better. And that way, you know, the season's going to be a wash, as we talked about. And then let's see how it plays out going into next year. Because right now, Rob, there's really nothing for the Redskins to hang their hat on. Because as I mentioned before, you know, you thought you were going to have a better pick, and that pick is going to actually be a great pick for the St. Louis Rams. So you gave up a lot. You mortgaged the future for RG3. And now as you look at, like you talked about earlier, the way that Mike Shanahan is running things, he's been getting a pass because of the two past Super Bowls, but now this is a whole new situation now. So dare I say that, you know, the Redskins will have a new coach. Who's going to be the coach for the Houston Texans? You know, Gary Kubiak was obviously axed. And right now, the way that the Texans are playing, I know I'm kind of going two different subjects here, Rob, it looks like they're going to actually draft a quarterback, because the way that Schaub is playing, it's been very, very dreadful. Case Keenum tried to come in and do something. He actually got benched for Matt Schaub. And the team that was projected to be, you know, in the top, you know, top team, they're actually in the same situation. They're actually 3-10 as well. Actually, I think they're 2-11 or something crazy like that, too. So I want to get your thoughts about that as we kind of get ready to come to the end of the show here, sir.
Well, yeah, I think when you look at it right now, I mean, I think it depends on your need at the number one position. And, you know, right now I have Teddy Bridgewater and Jadeveon Clowney. Even though, you know, Clowney's play has not been as well, he still has the talent. You know, he got a slight off-the-field incident with driving 110 miles per hour in the last day or two. So, I mean, I'm sure NFL GMs are going to, you know, research him and things of that nature. But I think if you're the Texans right now, I think you would have to think that you might be okay at the defensive end slash outside linebacker position in your 3-4 defense. So my thinking is if they get the number one pick, you would definitely see them go with Teddy Bridgewater at this current time. And I think what you're getting there is you're getting an accurate quarterback who can move. And, you know, so I actually think he would have been perfect for a Gary Kubiak offense, believe it or not. And but, you know, I'm sure they'll get the right head coach in there to try to match his skills.
Yeah, because that defense was a pretty good defense, Rob. I know they had it's with everything. You know, there's some injuries, but, you know, offense, you know, they can't keep building out the offense, it seems like. But just kind of an interesting scenario, as always. I just wanted to get your thoughts about that, too. So real quick, I do want to throw out the numbers. Mike called in the show. We want to appreciate you showing us some love. talking about the Cowboys. Anytime we always talk Cowboys, we always get some feedback, it seems like, sir. And actually, he didn't really bash Tony Romo. I thought that was going to be the case, Rob, but he did not bash Romo, basically saying that Romo was not the issue. You know, maybe he's not helping it, but, you know, there's a lot of things going on with America's team right about now, too. So, you know, we'll keep that moving forward, too. But 4 minutes, 424, the number that Mike called, 424-243-9519. We got about, as I said, 4 minutes left in the show. Let's get some predictions here coming up over the weekend here. Real quick, Rob, let's talk about your predictions for New England at Miami. I always like to pick New England. For some reason, they always seem to struggle in Miami, sir. But I am kind of leaning towards New England still. I know they lost Rob Gronkowski to a pretty season, another season-ending injury. You have to worry about his career, but I like the Patriots to pull this one out, sir.
I'm going to go with Miami in an upset here. New England has been barely winning here for about 3-4 weeks in a row, and I think it bites them in the butt this week. I think Miami wins at home to get to 8-6, and as they continue to fight for a wild card spot here.
Like it. Let's talk about Baltimore at Detroit. I talked about Detroit earlier. I'm kind of thinking they're kind of Jekyll and Hyde, almost similar to the Giants in this instance. I like Baltimore in this particular aspect. You talk about a fantastic game, Rob. Back and forth, Baltimore, and they were playing the Vikings. You talk about just a great game to watch. I think they're going to carry on the momentum, and they're going to pull it out versus Detroit.
I disagree with you here again. I think Detroit take care of business at home. I think Baltimore has been just as up and down as Detroit this year. And I think Detroit will be able to put up some points at home against that Baltimore defense. So I'm not going to take Detroit. I think the game is going to be close, though. I'm looking at about a 3-6 point win, but I like Detroit to pull it out.
I knew you were going to say that, man. I think you're just the opposite of me, but that's okay. We got about 2.5 minutes here. I guess I do want to talk about some college football stuff. Definitely there's been a lot of coaching changes that have been going on. Obviously, we talked about some things. The biggest note that we want to talk about real quick is obviously Chris Peterson is going to make the move to Washington. Dirk Cutter, the Falcons offensive coordinator, maybe he was interviewing for the Boise State jobs. That may be a done deal. No word on that. I do want to talk about Mack Brown possibly stepping out of Texas. And does that sliver of hope open up for Alabama? Wow, let's talk about that real quick, man. Let's see how that plays out. But we got about 2 minutes, sir. Can you go ahead and wrap up the OT portion as we get ready to kick it into overdrive, sir?
Yeah, we'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in tonight. We certainly appreciate the phone call from gentleman Mike there. I think he had some very good insight to our program. Definitely keep calling. We certainly appreciate it. And once again, join us on next Tuesday night, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be on the air again, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. For our good friends in Hawaii, aloha, it'll be 5 p.m. Hawaii time on next Thursday night. Obviously, we're getting the heat of the stretch run in the NFL. We're going to start getting prepared for some bowl game predictions here in the next few weeks. As a matter of fact, we're going to set up a bowl challenge for our listeners, too. So we're going to do a bowl challenge. I think we did one last year. We're going to set that up again. And so anybody that has some interest, send us your email information via our Facebook page or our Twitter site. Once again, you can like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man, or follow us at Twitter, at 12th Man Sports. Send us your email addresses. We're going to do a bowl challenge with predicting the bowl games.
Gotcha. And as always, we've got about 60 seconds left in the show. We're going to talk about the Heisman talk. Big shout-out to Matt P. Appreciate that. He picked Detroit and Miami. He's a big advocate for Trey Mason for the Heisman. I think he's an Auburn fan. No, he's not Auburn fan. He's Notre Dame. But that's okay. And we're also going to talk about Spanish shout-outs as well. And what's happening with Texas and Mack Brown. So tune in to the OT portion whenever you can listen to it later on. As you guys are driving, just go to our page and you can listen to the archived version of that. Other than that, Rob, do you have any last-minute things before we get ready to kick off the OT portion, sir?
I think you said it best. We got a lot still to cover here in OT. We're sorry we can't bring this portion to you live, but definitely tune into it tomorrow when you have an opportunity. Hear our thoughts. Send us some feedback. You like what we're talking about? Don't like what we're talking about? We like a little conversation. So hit us up on Twitter and Facebook. Good night, people.
We are officially into the OT portion, as always, and we want to thank you for that. And Rob, we're going to just keep it moving here. Let's talk about what's been going on. There's been a couple of coaching moves, and word on the street is that, well, obviously, Mac Brown has said he's going to, you know, definitely step down as head coach for Texas. So that opens up a whole can of worms. Number one, what do you think is going to happen, sir? That's a pretty good job. I don't know if it's better than an SEC job. I know Kevin Sumlin just re-upped his contract. Do you think this is a move for Nick Saban or not? And what do you think if it doesn't make the Nick Saban move? Who can take this pretty high fall position, sir?
Well, this is kind of the way I look at this Nick Saban situation. I don't believe he's going to Texas. I believe he's using that to get more money out of Alabama, and I think he's going to get it. I think you're going to see him get a pay raise. He's going to probably be up in there in the $7-8 million a year salary, which is going to put him right there in the ballpark of what Bill Belichick and Sean Payton is getting in the NFL as the two highest paid coaches in the NFL. And I think he's going to be right there in that category in college. And so I just think he's using it as leverage. I don't see him leaving Texas. And I think he's, you know, even though they are not going to the national championship game this year, he's still got a machine going there in Alabama. And I don't think he wants to leave that to start a rebuilding program in Texas. That's just my thoughts. I think he's just using it as leverage to get a raise. And so it's going to be interesting. I don't know where Texas turns to from here. Kevin Sumlin just re-ups Texas A&M. And so you have Nick Saban. I don't believe he's going to Texas. So I think it's going to be real interesting who's out there that they can get. You know, you talk about Chris Peterson is going on from Boise State to Washington. I think he's one of the better up-and-coming young head coaches in college football. So Washington just gets him. So, I mean, I think it's going to be real interesting. I can't think of a name right now that I think will be a good fit for Texas off the top of my head. I hear they maybe some talk about them talking to Les Miles if they can't get Saban. So I think that would be very interesting too. But I don't really see Les Miles even leaving LSU to go to Texas. So I just can't think of realistically who would be a good fit for Texas at the moment.
We will keep an eye on that situation pretty much because there's a lot of alumni. We'll see how it plays out too, sir, because are they going to pick somebody from a certain staff? But, you know, my thing is never over, Rob, until somebody actually hires the next coach of Texas because I don't believe what Nick Saban says out of his mouth, sir, until it's actually done, man. So, you know, I'm not saying that I don't, you know, that he is not using them for leverage, which I think he is doing that. But you do have to wonder if the pressure or whatever, if that was just things that he said. But as we know, nothing is over until there's somebody signing the ink and say this is the next coach of the University of Texas. But we'll keep an eye on that most certainly for sure, too. And some very good points as well because I'm kind of racking my brain, too. I'm not sure who would be a good fit, you know, kind of looking at that next step because it's a great job, number one. So, you know, it gives them plenty of time to kind of search for a replacement, kind of see how that plays out for sure. let's keep moving here. Let's do some Heisman talk, Rob. I know that the Heisman Trophy inductees were actually announced, and it was pretty interesting in that there's actually six people that are being invited, and, you know, obviously you got the Jameis Winstons of the world. You've got A.J. McCarron from Alabama. You've got Jordan Lynch from Northern Illinois. You've got Trey Mason from Auburn. And we got one more guy, another quarterback, Johnny Manziel from Texas A&M. So you talk about a pretty great experience right now. I think hands down we all know who it's going to be. It's all going to go to Jameis Winston. And it's an honor and privilege to go to this. But, you know, I think as Matthew, you know, there's some good candidates. And you kind of told me your thoughts about the Heisman watch. We all know what's going to happen ultimately.
Yeah, obviously there are a lot of good football players out there across the country, obviously. But I think Jameis Winston has been the best college football player all year long, redshirt freshman. I think his poise and his composure has been incredible this year. I think the way he handles his protections at the line of scrimmage or protection is very impressive. This guy's got all the tools. He's got the arm strength. He's got a slight hitch in his delivery. You wonder if NFL is going to give him a little ding on that in the scouting process, but I don't think so. I think he just does so many other things well. He's got the strong arm. He's mobile, and he's a smart kid. And I think the scouts has to be pretty impressed with his composure. Even during his process, during his legal process he's been going through, he never wavered. It never affected his game. And I think, you know, you always saw that calm. It looked like the kid is mature beyond his years. And now that situation is over with, I think he's a lock for the Heisman. There's no doubt about it. There are a lot of good players, but I think everybody else is just the second. Manziel had another good year, but his year was not as good as last year and not as good as Jameis Winston this year. So you look at that. A.J. McCarron with the loss to Auburn, that kind of put a ding on him a little bit. Trey Mason, I think, is a very good college football player, but I think he's more of a product of that Auburn system. So I like Jameis Winston hands down.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you nailed it right on the head. You think that Jameis has got all the tools. And the good thing is that he's got all the intangibles too, Rob. I mean, right now he's got that drive to become a great quarterback. He's a hard worker. And so for such a young player, the way he's coming in, he's got respect from all of his teammates. And he's definitely, he's been able to elevate that team to another level. So I'm looking forward to the championship game, Rob. I definitely think Florida State's going to win this because we've pretty much seen that, you know, no one has been able to stop Florida State. I do think it's going to be a good game because Auburn's going to be able to do some things versus Florida State as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, Jameis wins, Heisman's hands down. And like you said, hopefully this experience has made him stronger and hopefully he'll learn from this experience for sure, Rob.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think this, that's a great point. And I think it's going to be very interesting here to see how, you know, he goes into sophomore year. I think he's going to have to play at least one more year of college football to see what the future holds for him.
Yeah, like you said, you're looking at easily number one pick coming out without a doubt. And like I said, we'll keep an eye on that for sure. I don't know if you want to have any thoughts as far as anything else as far as over the weekend. I know there was a lot of great games. Obviously going into, we were kind of nervous, concerned about Ohio State possibly in the matchup, but Michigan State was able to handle business. And I think what we kind of learned about Ohio State, I know maybe some people were talking about their schedule, but just the resolve for them to play a team like a Michigan State. Michigan State didn't falter, and they've been through some things, so just the toughness and grittiness that allowed them to overcome. And also Missouri, their second year in the SEC, they're able to come in and go for the championship game. Great game versus Auburn. It was kind of back and forth. Auburn just able to outlast them. And like you said, just a lot of great games for the weekend. I don't know if you want to kind of comment on that before we talk about fantasy shout-outs before we get ready to wrap up the show, sir.
Well, yeah, I think it was a great week in college football. The Michigan State game, I tell you what, Michigan almost had Ohio State the week before, but Michigan State, you know, a much better team than Michigan. They really put it on them. The great defensive ball club, came up with some big plays, got a very impressive win against Ohio State. And I tell you what, kudos to Auburn and Gus Malzahn. I mean, what a tremendous job. He's definitely, in my opinion, Coach of the Year in college football. I mean, Auburn was picked near the last by every publication, including mine, as far as being the end of it, picked near the bottom of the SEC West. This is supposed to be a down year, rebuilding year for Auburn. I mean, they only lose one game. I mean, I think they got lucky in a couple of games against Georgia and Alabama, but still a very good season. Impressive win in the SEC championship game. How about my LSU Tigers, the only team to beat Auburn this year?
Yeah.
But obviously we caught them early. We caught them at a good time of the year. And this is a team. I still like Florida State. My early prediction in the national championship game, Auburn has a weak secondary, and I think Winston will be able to exploit that. And I think Florida State has tremendous talent on defense as well to be able to slow that game, running game down. So that's my early prediction. I know we got a long way before the game. And, you know, kudos to Stanford winning the Pac-12 title as well. Oklahoma, a big road win over Oklahoma State, allowing Baylor to win the Big 12. And so kudos to Baylor. They had another great year as well. And I tell you, maybe that's a guy you can look at if you're Texas. The head coach of Baylor, Art Briles, I think he's doing a phenomenal job there, Baylor. And obviously Baylor's a great football school, but Texas is the richest sports school in college sports. And so maybe that could be a guy you can look at, you know, from a nearby school. You talk to Art Briles.
Yeah, what was true was that he was possibly thinking about going to coach for, become a quarterback's coach for the Redskins and kind of be reunited, with RG3. But, I don't know if that's – no one knows what's going to happen with that instance. But I think if Texas came knocking, I'm sure he would answer that call for sure, Rob.
Absolutely. And like I said, I couldn't think of a name. But just talking about Baylor gave me a name. And I think he's one of the more innovative offensive coaches in college football, too. You don't hear a lot about, but I think he would be a good name. I always talk about Mike Gundy. I think he's a very underrated coach. Maybe Texas is going to talk to him as well. I don't see him leaving OK State, but I think he's another name, if you're Texas, that you can steal the coach from your rival school right there in the Big 12.
I think Mike Gundy has pictures of Rob or something like that, which is why Robert always talks about him. But, we'll keep moving in this instance for sure. Rob, let's do some fantasy shout-outs and get ready to end the show right after the fantasy shout-outs because it's been a good, successful edition of Talking Sports with 12 Men for this Tuesday, sir.
Yes, well, we certainly appreciate all our competitors in our fantasy sports this year. Like I said, we're getting ready to do a bowl challenge, so make sure you guys – send us your email address so we can invite you all. Like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with a 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports so we can get you those invites out. But our current fantasy shout-outs, Saints Pelicans 23, we're in the playoffs in both of our fantasy sports football leagues. He's holding down the number one seed at the moment in our fantasy football number one. That's Ronald here in the New Orleans area. Fantasy football number two, Crazy Crew Wayne.
I got you, Ronald. I got you, Ronald, by the way. I'm coming after you, Ronald, just because you just won barely. By the way, that's all I'm saying. Sorry. Just want to put it out there.
And Crazy Crew Wayne in the Atlanta area. He's holding out a number one spot in our fantasy football number two league. And we got a long way to go in basketball, fantasy sports. But yours truly, Robert Ford. Ball so hard, holding down a first-place spot at the current time. Once again, we certainly appreciate all of you all. Ball so hard, Doc, man. We go hard. We go to the hole hard, man. We dunk on everybody.
Oh, wow.
But we certainly appreciate everybody for tuning in to our show tonight. Make sure you join us on next Tuesday, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian. And for our good friends in Germany, that would be 5 a.m. Wednesday morning for you all. You don't want to miss next week's show. We're getting to the nitty-gritty, getting closer to the NFL playoffs, people. Good night.
Good night. Thank you, guys, as always, as Rob mentioned, for listening. Thank you to Matthew P. Thanks to Mike for calling in the show. And as Rob said, we'll see you guys next week, same time, same channel. Good show, sir. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Rob.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.